The immigration policies of the Trump administration have certainly impacted the lives of people. That goes without saying. Those who believe that they had some, well, let's say stability to stand on via either asylum or visa policies are learning that now those count for little, if anything at all. Also being impacted by the deportation efforts of the Trump administration or businesses in a variety of industries. While this has already had an immediate impact on those businesses, there are some who believe that long-term this will cause the economy and, in turn, your wallet to also take a hit. Here to explore all this is the editor of Real Clear Markets and author whose upcoming book, coming out in early July, is Deficit Delusion, Why Everything Left, Right, and Supply Side Tell You About the National Debt Is Wrong. John Tamney, how are you today, John?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I'm good to have you here because of what you've been writing about recently and focusing, realclearmarkets.com. We have the link at the homepage as well. Because, you know, when you're operating a business, if you're doing it legally and legitimately, you're under the auspices of rules and regulations of the state and federal government. But when you look at just what happened recently with immigration, you have the president saying, we're going after them all. No, wait, we're not going to go after the undocumented immigrants working for specific industries. And literally 5 or 6 days after that, now we're going to go after them all again. So as a business environment, how do you exist in something like this?
It's very difficult to exist for the uncertainty you describe, but it's also incredibly difficult to exist simply because, as any business owner will tell you, who employs a lot of immigrants, undocumented people, they don't employ them because they're trying to gouge workers or get lower wages. These are the only people who ever come to them for jobs. I mean, it's really that simple. The immigrants don't go to Haiti. They don't go to El Salvador. They come here because this is where the opportunity is. There's a huge market in the U.S. for the kind of work that they do, that they're willing to do. And so if you get rid of them, there will not be workers to fill those roles.
And that reality flies in the face of the claims saying, well, they're just here to become wards of the state, welfare, Social Security, food stamps, et cetera. I mean, we've all heard the claims, but if you look at the stats, the reality is quite different, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's utter nonsense to claim that. And how we know that is, what's the biggest driver of consumption in Mexico today? It's not earnings from tourism. It's not earnings from oil. It's remittances from the United States. Mexican people are in the United States to earn a better wage. They're much more productive in the United States, and that's what enables them to feed their families back in Mexico. They're not here for welfare, quite the opposite.
If you look poll after poll, if an immigrant is here willingly contributing to the nation economically, if they're serving in the military or as a first responder, which I've always said, if someone wants to come in the country and do that, you go to the front of the line as far as any kind of naturalization process is concerned. But poll after poll, people don't have a problem with non-criminal immigrants. So where is the explanation other than a quota, apparently, that Stephen Miller has demanded, which makes you question who's running the show here in some regards, that Stephen Miller, White House associate to Trump, he's demanding that ICE apprehend 3,000 immigrants a day. There's not that many criminal immigrants in this nation to do that kind of number, to get to a spectacular seven-figure number. It's just not realistic, John.
No, it's not. It's obnoxious, and it's dangerous, and it's sad, and it's going to destroy a lot of businesses in the United States, if taken to its pathetic conclusion. They're not. Do some people commit crimes? Yes, some Americans commit crimes. But it's like what the right frequently and I think correctly says is, guns don't people kill people. People kill people. Well, same here. Immigrants aren't criminals, but some immigrants will probably be criminals. So deport them. In the same way that some Americans are. They're here to work. And if you get rid of them, it's so interesting coming from the right because they claim they're for limited government. Well, where is the limited government in arming exponentially more people to enter into private businesses and take the employees away that private businesses willingly hired so that they could operate? I mean, it's tragic. It's so anti what Republicans have historically been about.
Do you think that businesses got a little guidance and maybe encouragement by what we saw the Dodger team do a couple of days ago by saying to ICE, no, you can't come onto the grounds?
Well, I hope more businesses do that. And it was the same thing that I felt they businesses should have said during the lockdowns in 2020. Stay out of my business. I will run it as I see fit. And it's the same thing here. You do not have a right to come talk to my employees. And thank goodness the Dodgers are protecting them. These are people that are here for a job. Leave them alone.
So John Tamney, who is editor of Real Clear Markets, realclearmarkets.com, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And we should make a point, too, that there are undocumented immigrants who are here under visas of various natures, under claims of asylum, and they have to go through a process. They do check-ins. I'm not going to go into a whole detail, but basically they have to show up and say, I'm working, I'm doing this, here's where I live, and a lot of the basics. But ICE is now lying in wait for these people to come in for their check-ins when they're obeying the process and deported them. Just the other day in the Cincinnati area, a soccer player just graduated high school, no criminal record, went in to check-in. He was here on asylum from Honduras with his family. Sent back to Honduras.
Yeah, it's just tragic. Where have we gone as a nation? A nation that is a creation of people who wanted better for themselves, and they came here not for a handout, but they came here because they knew that if they were free, they could prosper. And now we're sending them out of the country. And let's be clear, this is a market phenomenon. If the jobs weren't here, they would not be here. What would be the point of coming here? It's not legal for them to get welfare in the first place. Now, some will point out that there are ways around that. That's no doubt true. There are people that game the system. But the broad truth is that they're here for work. And how we once again know that is the empirical fact that one of the biggest drivers of consumption around the world in countries not the United States is remittances from workers in the United States sending back money to their families. The U.S. is a place for people to work. And until we recognize that, until we recognize that really all you need to do is say, we just want you to announce yourself, you don't need to do all of this.
We should say, too, that with ICE again getting more and more secretive, now members of Congress who by law can have access to detention centers just to check up if they have obviously people who are within their district or just a human rights situation. They up to this point have had immediate access to all these ICE detention centers. But now the new ICE rule is 72-hour notice before a member of Congress can come in and check out how we're doing things, how we're running the show, how we're taking care of the people who we've apprehended, assuming that they're still in the detention center after 72 hours. It's just every step taken in this process and in this policy just raises more and more questions, more and more concerns. And for businesses, isn't it crazy, too, that the undocumented workers actually lose out because they pay into Social Security, but they can't collect? So yep. Take that money out of the Social Security system, which is expected to go, well, not broke, but they'll have to start cutting benefits around 30, 35. Take that money out of that equation. It's not going to be 30, 30, 30, 20, 35. It's going to be probably closer to 20, 30, if that.
I would just point out, I would argue on that, precisely because Social Security will be funded by general revenues, I don't think benefits are going to change one way or the other. But you're certainly right that these undocumented workers are paying into a system that they won't be able to get, which is just another bit of evidence that they're not here for welfare. If they were, why would they do this? That they're here for a job. And what makes me sad is that the solution is simple. And left and right know it's the solution, but neither side wants to solve it because they love to politicize it from both sides. The solution would be, look, we recognize the market for need for workers in the U.S. is massive. Just announce yourself. And that way, once you do that, you could have a much smaller ICE chasing the very few that are trying to sneak in for nefarious reasons. And so you could shrink the government while massively expanding the U.S. economy by legalizing what's true. There is a need for workers here that aren't American. Let them come here. And better, hey, guess what? With this, if you legalize it, do you bring your wife and kids to work every day? I know I don't. Hmm. If you legalize the work, many of these people coming into the country would not mess at the border. They'd fly to where they're needed, and they wouldn't bring the wife, the kids, grandmother, grandma, grandpa, aunt, and everyone else. They could just come here as they're needed.
Real fast, just to wrap up here, I mentioned your upcoming book, Deficit Delusion, Why Everything Left, Right, and Supply Side Tell You About the National Debt Is Wrong. Businesses operate. I mean, pick any major corporation to a medium-sized business. There's a working operational debt that they somehow manage to control. Is that something that we're missing out on? Or how do you want the national debt? How should it be approached?
Well, but businesses run up debt, too. They have to have a lot of revenues. Generally, do startups in Silicon Valley have debt? No. And the reason they don't is they're expected to fail. Apple's got tons of debt. Why? Because investors trust its revenue now and trust its revenue in the future. The U.S. has lots of debt because it takes in a lot of tax revenue. And this is what's missed by left, right, and supply side. They keep saying, well, we just need to get more revenue and to pay off the debt. No, we have the debt because we have so much revenue. Any entity that takes in a lot of money can easily borrow. So until we reduce the inflow to the U.S. Treasury, that's going to grow and grow because it will be viewed as something that's going to be paid off easily based on the taxpayer throwing a lot of money to Treasury. We've got to shrink the flow to government if we want to fix this.
And that's what you'll find out when John's book comes out early in July, Deficit Delusion, Why Everything Left, Right, and Supply Side Tell You About the National Debt Is Wrong. You can read his writings and observations along with many other factual, knowledgeable people on the world of business and finances at realclearmarkets.com. John Tammany, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.